People are losing their minds. It's the news, according to me. Whoa, it is Thursday morning. That's what you call a big stretch right there. That's a big stretch. Much like the news we're getting. Some of the reports that we're getting from big stretch times. Folks, it is June 26th, 7:37 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here in the home studio. And no, I am not live. I keep talking about this live thing. All of you out there know that there's this, if you've ever listened to the show at the beginning of the show, it's always, there's always this hope. Maybe you don't hope that it's going to be live. I don't know. Maybe you don't care. But I don't blame you for not caring. There's a whole lot of things to not care about. As soon as I start talking, my dog must have taken off. I don't understand. Apparently he doesn't want to listen to me any more than you do. he wants to change his spot there. I'm not sure what he's doing. Where he lays down. Anyway, he's a little bit of a restless dog. He'll lay in a place for about 5 minutes and he gets up and moves around. It's just about every 5 minutes, all night long. It's kind of that way. Unless he's really tuckered out. It's had a few situations where he's laid down for like an hour and just been passed out. Like this morning, he's kind of course, I don't know. Anyway, neither here nor there. The live show thing is kind of contingent upon me being able to get to my office, and I really don't want to do the live show. I've done the live show from my home studio here. It really needs to be done at the worldwide headquarters. It's kind of more set up for that. Internet's a little faster. There's not as much running on the internet there. It's just, it's more dedicated to that whole situation. I've got a software set up there that's a little better. I got cameras set up. The whole thing's just better. However, I don't get there enough. And I don't do the show enough to really make it happen real quickly. I used to do a show every morning. It was a different kind of program. I used to do a live broadcast. It was actually a worship thing. Where I played worship music for like 15 minutes every morning. And then I had a show every day, but a couple times a day. I was actually doing a couple, because I did a show for my nephew. I did a couple things, other things I was doing. and it was, I was constantly working with that software and had it all set up. And I could kind of make it spin because I was doing it all the time. I don't do it all the time anymore. I just very rarely do. And I was even doing some remote live stuff for church. I haven't done that stuff for a couple of years. And I guess more than a couple. It's been probably 6 years. And it's just been a little bit difficult to get back into that. It's just a matter of doing it. I know the technical side of things. I just don't have the workflow down, which just takes a little time. It's a little bit frustrating because you feel like you had it down. You know, it's hard to go back to something like that when you know you could do something so quickly and then you can't. I think it's where a lot of old people get frustrated. Is that young people are kind of living in the moment. They don't have the memories of being able to do something. And so they get frustrated, and that just adds to the problem. It exacerbates the issue of frustration. And it's just, I think that's what happens with most people. Older people, I don't think that they, it's not that they can't learn as quickly or that they can't learn. It's just that they have so many things plugging up the works. Right now, I have a lot of things plugging up my works. Mostly cheese, probably. But I don't think cheese does that to you. I eat a lot of cheese, and let's just say I have no problem with that. I don't know what the deal there is. People think that cheese, but it just doesn't happen. Anyway, I don't know if you catch my drift on that one. A lot of things going on. Mainly, what's in my cup? Let's talk about that. I've got a couple cups here today. The typical, the standard, the go-to, the wonderful World of Chai is in my cup this morning with my Almond Joy creamer. It has cooled off quite a bit, actually, since I made it, because I've actually been up a little bit early this morning. I have this voiceover job I'm working on right now, and it's of course I should have probably asked for more. It's one of those deals where I settled for an okay amount, but you know what it's going to turn into. And of course, it has turned into multiple back and forth phone sessions, scratch tracks, all this other stuff that goes on with this whole process. Some of them is just one and done. They set up a time, you do the read, you're done. Here's your money. You know, sometimes you get it 90 days later, but it's in the bank. It's there. It's on its way. It's just I don't mind waiting for the funds as much as I do just being able to keep the work going. However, I mean, it's nice to get it right away, but some of them are 30 days, some of them are 90 days, which, you know, it's whatever. Receivables are receivables. If you got a whole bunch of people that are paying 90 days out, well, that's fine, because 90 days from now I'm going to have lots of money coming in, even if I'm not doing anything. So either way, it works fine. So it's, you know, it's get the work done, and they're going to pay it. Typically, I've had a few people who didn't pay, and it's been pretty rare in the course of doing voiceover work. The who goes to the effort of finding a voiceover artist and doesn't pay him? I have had some sneaky people ask for scratch tracks and they never come back, and they never say anything. You know that they use the scratch track for the. So I usually put a watermark at a scratch track, or do something kind of bobble it up a little bit to make them come back for the real thing. But the some of them you can tell are a little sketchy. I've only had a couple people do that to me, and it's I'm not gonna change my whole way of doing things. Like, unlike the government that has a knee jerk reaction to every little thing that happens, like the TSA. Well, somebody brought a water bottle in with gasoline in it. Okay, well, now nobody can bring water bottles in. Okay, so we're gonna change what 20 million people do because of what one person tried to do. It's not like everybody's doing that. It's not like 20 million people were trying to do that. The 19,999,999 that didn't do it, we're going to make all of them. It's just stupid stuff like that. That just drives me up a wall. There's 101 million ways that terrorists could affect airline travel that are not being stopped by TSA. I guarantee you that. It's just another one of those things where they feel, let them make the traveling public feel safe by, you know, swiping them down and feeling them up. I just get so tired of seeing all the old grandmas and little kids being put through all this stuff. However, there are some nefarious people out there, and we do have to be concerned about some of that stuff. But, culture is declining. There's no question about that. Despite what they tell you. All right, we have a few things to talk about today. Oh, my backup cup. That's the other thing we got to talk about. I'm running low now. I'm running down on the end of my peach tea, sweet tea, homemade tea. I made this last week. It has a hint of funkiness to it now. So it's maybe get through the day with it. That's about it. As of tomorrow, there will be a fresh batch in the refrigerator tonight, and it's going to hopefully last me through Sunday, because I'm going to be on call again at the end of next week. I don't think they're going to use me at all on Monday and Tuesday. It's next week has got nothing going on, and there's a whole bunch of other people on call, and I just don't think they're going to use me. however, I might end up having to go to Chicago. We'll see what happens. And it would be helpful, because right now I have no vehicle. I have a Jeep left, is all I've got left. I have 5 vehicles, 2 of which have been in the shop for over a month. Well, almost a month. The one has been, it will be a month by the time we get it back. It's in Toledo, Ohio. The other one is about a mile away from me, and it's been in the shop for over a month. They have not touched it. I'm getting a little bit frustrated with that. Our motorhome, which is the 6th vehicle, just got fixed. I'll say fixed with quotation marks. And actually, it's workable now. It's usable, workable. However, the air conditioner that I spent a lot of money trying to get fixed last year, by the way, it was in the shop for about 3 months. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. This is just grumbling. It's not grumbling and complaining. It's just grumbling. It was in the shop for over. And here's what gets me about all this. All these maintenance people, all these maintenance people, that all these shops that are out there, even good reputable ones, they're at least a week behind. Most of them are two weeks to a month behind in the work that they're doing. Now, I realize this is some major work. Changing an engine on a boat is on a car. That's a boat. Boat's a whole other story. On a car, changing an engine on a car is not as just a, you know, it's not just like changing spark plugs. It's a big deal. And I've got some questions about the one, sound like a cartoon character. They're all too busy, and they have no mechanics, and of course they're not paying their mechanics anything. Very few shops pay their mechanics well. They're charging plenty. They're charging $100 an hour for shop time, shop labor. They're not paying their mechanics well. That's what I'm hearing. That's why people are stepping out of it. However, car mechanics right now are making as much as aviation mechanics in some cases. It's just a weird situation. I don't know what we're into right now. People just don't think that the people just won't work for anything right now. Not desperate enough. Anyway, the problem. I guess I don't. I'm not. I don't have my toes in. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. And I'm not a car maintenance guy. I do my own maintenance. I don't know what it, you know. I'm sure it's worth $100 an hour for what I do. But yesterday I made about $1,000 because I spent about 10 hours working on my truck, which got me to Chicago and back last week, and got me around last week. I decided to go, but it's not shifting into overdrive, which is, it uses up a lot of gas by not doing that. Driving down the highway, you know, in drive without going into overdrive, it uses about five miles to the gallon difference in gas consumption. Plus the fact that it revs my engine way up there, and it's at some point something's going to fly off of it. Can't really go over 60 miles an hour with it. It's safely. You know, I don't like going over 65. So it's revving up there in the 2,500 range, a little over 2,500 RPM, 2,600, 2,700. And that's just enough to run it for an hour like that. So I've heard the problem probably is, you know, one of the diagnoses on this thing is that it's the crankshaft position indicator. Easy fix. It's hard to get to, but it's an easy fix. It's just a little sensor that you pop out, unscrew one screw, pop the thing out, and put the new one in and plug it in. 15-minute job. I've seen people do it online. They just pull the old one out, put the new one in. There you go. Just like that. I thought the worst part was going to be getting the screw out because it's all kind of rusted in there. That thing came right out. I couldn't believe it was... Hooked up my wrench to it. It started turning. I was like, am I twisting the thing off? Because usually that's what happens when you get really badly rusted. When you get in there and start turning that screw and turn the bolt, you know, it's all of a sudden, yeah, it's turning. No, it's not. It's twisting the head off. And you get out the extractor tool. And this would not be an easy place to get an extractor tool into, by the way. So get that thing out of there. That comes right out. And I start looking at the new part to see if there's any kind of tang or anything on there that has to be turned a certain way to get the thing pulled out. Because it didn't just pop right off. So I kind of took a look at that. It didn't just come right off of there. So I'm thinking, well, it looks like it could be turned a little bit to one direction. And that's just a plug that kind of goes in with an O-ring. It's just nothing really big about it. But I thought maybe it has a little tang there on that thing that needs to come out. That is not the case, by the way. It doesn't have to do that. It should just come straight out. So I tried to, but you can twist it a little bit. Sometimes turning it helps a little bit to loosen things up. So I got in there with a pair of pliers, got the thing turned a little bit. Well, then it started to crack. Well, first of all, the metal tang that comes out to attach the screw to that holds it in there, that broke off. It just popped right off. It was probably corrosion. So that's gone. Then I try to get in there with a screwdriver and a pair of pliers and that kind of thing. And the whole plastic housing starts to crack on me, starts to come apart. Now it's got wires in it, which was kind of holding it together to some degree. Now keep in mind, this is taking hours to do because it's hard to get into. This is all under the motor, which is all greasy and grimy, and there's rust falling down in my eyes. Well, just the whole day. And it's, of course, it's 110 degrees outside. At least that's what it feels like. So I ended up getting out there. Things just kept breaking. So then I got down to the point where it was just kind of a nub left. So I had to drill a hole in the thing to try to put a bolt into it so I could just extract it with that. That didn't work. They pulled the bolt right out. Put a lag screw in there. Now I think I'm finally getting somewhere, but it's not, it hasn't moved at all. Nothing has moved. That thing is not coming out. So I might have to get in there with some epoxy, try to epoxy the plastic epoxy stuff that you can put, put the screw in there, put the plastic epoxy in there, see if that has enough grip on the thing to actually extract it. But I may have to take the whole motor out. Now, keep in mind, the engine cannot be run without this thing in there. I got the new part. That's all looking good. Everything's all, if I get that thing out of there, I can put the new part in and I'm on my way. And hopefully the overdrive will work. If it doesn't, then it's a whole other issue. Probably needs a new transmission. Who knows? I don't know. That's what I'm going to be told. I know I'm sure it doesn't need one, but. So, I think the bands need to be adjusted or something. Anyway, which I'm not going to do. So the, anyway, thing's stuck now in my driveway. The other two cars are at the shop. We have one car left. It's an 07 Volvo XC70. It's got 240,000 miles on it or something like that. 250, whatever. Running fine. I put a new timing belt on it last year. We got new plugs and ignition coils in. However, my wife was saying it was kind of doing some missing stuff, which I had put some fuel treatment in it, take care of some moisture issues. And that seemed to take care of the problem right away. I didn't have any problems with it again. Well, now the other day, my wife said she was having some issues with it. It was running funky again. So put some more treatment in there. It might take a little bit more to deal with that. I'm not sure what's going on with it. But it's hesitating a little bit. And it could be the O2 sensor. I doubt that's what's causing the problem, but it is causing a few hiccups here and there, which I'm not too concerned about because it really is running fairly smooth and strong. So I don't think it's a major issue with it. No codes are coming up with anything other than the O2 sensor. And I think that's just all it is. Anyway, so that car is running. Of course, the problem is my wife, she needs to take that to work. So she's back to work now. So it drives an hour to work, an hour back. So I have no vehicle other than the Jeep. Moving the dogs around the Jeep or doing anything with the Jeep, by the way, Wrangler, two-door Wrangler just isn't, set up really to do any kind of heavy hauling or lifting kind of work like I need to do with my truck. I need to, move a lawnmower around, need to do all this stuff, and it's just, I can't do it. That's what I got the truck for. It's what I put a flatbed on it for. Like I put little strakes on the side. I did the whole thing with that so I could use it to work, to get some work done around here. And all I'm doing is working on the truck instead of getting the work done with the truck. Very, very frustrating situation. Left me to the point where I don't really care anymore. I don't care. I was ready to get the backhoe out and dig a hole. Just put the truck in it. Start putting everything in it. I can't dig a hole deep enough, big enough to get the, then probably I'd break the backhoe. I haven't even tried to start that. I'd probably be frustrated to try to start. Backhoe, I probably would start right up. I have no. The skid steer starts a little hard, but that's a whole other issue. But it runs, it does its thing. So I could get those two things started up and just raise the whole place. Be done with it. In the middle of doing some stuff yesterday at the truck, running out of daylight, had about an hour left of daylight left, and this guy shows up in my driveway with a hoverboard. You know what that is? It's like a little thing. He's just running around the neighborhood with this thing. And he starts, he's got some kid, he's 20 years old maybe, I don't know. And he starts talking to me. He's like, "Hey, you want to ride it?" And I was like, "No, don't want to ride it. What are you doing here? What do you want?" I'm just covered in grease and dirt and rust and crap and tired and sweaty. Guy wants to carry on a conversation. And then next thing I know, he's got a little badge on. I'm like, what do you want? What are you doing here? What do you got going on? Well, he's got this bug spraying service that gets spray for spiders and stuff, which, I don't always get a chance to get done around here. And the limited amount of time I'm usually home, and it is a hassle because you get the spray, and then you got to store it someplace in between sprayings, and it's chemically it's nasty stuff to deal with. And we got dogs, so I'm always kind of concerned about that kind of thing. It's just doing it, you know. Got to do it every week. Seems like it's just anyway. So this guy, he's selling this service where they come in once a quarter. They do the first one is like a major deal, and the rest of it's like a once a quarter maintenance thing. And what they want you to get you on is a monthly payment. And I didn't want to do that. I was like, no, I'll pay for the whole thing up front. Just tell me what the price is. I'll tell you whether I want to do it or not. I'll pay. Give me the best price you can for the whole year, and I'll. So he gave me this price. He said, "Well, okay, well, for the first one, it's this much, and for the second, third, and fourth one, it'll be this much." I'm doing the quick math in my head for the size of my house and everything. I thought, okay, it should be about this amount. He comes out, well, I break it down to the monthly payment. He goes, I'm not doing the monthly payment. He goes, well, that's how I break it down. I just break it down math-wise, a monthly payment, 12 months, this much, as much as it'll be this amount of money. I was like, that's too much. That's more than you're saying. So I said, this much plus, you know, three times this much for these three payments, and then the first one's this much. It comes out to less than that. I pulled out my little calculator on my watch real quick and said, that's off. So you're telling me it's going to be this much, and this much. And you're coming out with a figure that's a couple hundred dollars more. Oh, so he did the math. He pulled out his calculator. Oh, yeah, you're right. It's this much. Oh, yeah, I'm right. It's this much. That's got just, yeah. Kiddo. So I do the old math. I don't do this common core math stuff. So anyway, why am I talking about all this? I don't know. Show's half over. It gets done, and struck a deal, got the payment done. It's all paid for. It's going to come out, do it next week. And no, none too soon. There are lots of bugs, critters coming out with all the rain we've been having. So that's just one thing after another here. Got a whole ecosystem going on. And the cats do a pretty good job. I mean, really, rodent-wise, we've got very few. Normally, spring and fall, we used to have mice galore here at the house because we kind of live in a woodsy area. And since then, we've got a lot of stray cats that were not, I wouldn't call them strays. We have a lot of prowling cats from the neighbors, I think, coming around, which I welcome, other than the fact the dogs chase them off. But they do a good job. There's at least two of them that come here. Now, the reason they come here is because we have bird feeders and the birds are here and they like to hunt the birds. I'm pretty sure that's why they're hanging around, because that's plus we got a lot of, you know, they're out in the woods a lot of times and they're running around the yard and woods where all the mice are. It's just fine. They can just have all those that they want. The one cat we have was a stray. It's actually a feral cat that was hanging out here at the house and was always here. And so it was last winter. It was very cold. We took her in, very sweetheart. She's a good cat. And the other one we got from a friend of ours. He's awesome mouser. That guy, he'll catch a mouse and not even think about it. But he's caught a few here in the house. That's good job with that. So and we haven't had mice problems in our house. Nothing like we used to have. It's been virtually. I don't think I've even bothered setting a trap at all for. No, our garage is a whole other story. We got chipmunks, all kinds of other stuff running around with all the bird seed we got running around. And places a virtual squirrel feeder. So we have rodent feeder, whatever you want to call it, which the dogs kind of help with as well. They you know, go out and make their scent well known, which kind of keeps some of the rodents off. Anyway. Couple things I want to talk about today. Let's get back to politics, because that's so much more fun after I'm so frustrated with all my vehicle situation here. I got to hopefully get the truck fixed today. I don't know. It's just going to be a whole other. I should be out there right now working on it in the cool instead of waiting until it gets hot out. I'm going to wait until it gets about 95 degrees out today and I'll start working on it. Maybe it'll start raining. That'd be fun. yeah, so we have couple things going on. And what's going on with Candace Owens? I folks, I thought this was going to be a blurb, a blip. She was going to kind of have this issue, and then all of a sudden she was going to be back to normal. She had like a little meltdown. I like Candace. I think she's a very smart individual. She's gone off the cliff. I don't get this. I don't know if it's her husband. I don't know if it's the Catholic Church. I don't know what is going on with her. She became a Catholic here recently. And since then, now I don't know if it's cause and effect. I don't know what's going on here. Something's going on with her. So it's almost like a mental, like some people are actually having serious questions about her. Maybe she's having a mental breakdown or a mental illness of some sort. Mental crisis. It's very possible. She's kind of lost some of her sense of reasoning. It's just bizarre to watch this kind of happen. And she's telling service personnel, well, you know, Trump's getting us into a war with Iran. You should just, if you feel bad about it, if you don't feel like you want to do it, just go ahead and, you know, just go ahead and get dishonorably discharged. No, there's ways of working through this with you can become a conscientious objector. You can work through it with the military chaplain. You can step out that way, and there's ways of getting out of the military. That it's not a good thing. It's never a good thing. You're going to be, you know, even if you are just discharged, general discharge, whatever it is. Telling people to get dishonorably discharged. This is close to walking into the world as a felon. It is a very serious issue. Dishonorable discharge, that's like punching your CO. You'll get dishonorably discharged if you punch your CO. I know a fellow who was going through Marine boot camp. Made it. Ended up with a general discharge. They tried to give him a dishonorable discharge, and he fought it. Ended up actually getting just a general discharge from the Marines. There's something you don't want that on your record. And this guy, this kid, he's still working through some issues in life. Let's just put it that way. And sometimes this kind of situation is because God's got a calling on your life. I've seen this happen so many kids, so many people. God has a powerful calling on their life, and they know it, and they're running from it. And they end up going off the deep end because they have to face everything else. Or other issues. But anyway, I think that's what's happening with this guy. He's just kind of a Jonah type situation to some degree. But anyway, to tell people this, to give this kind of counsel, in my opinion, is irresponsible and very reckless. Now, this whole thing started with Ben Shapiro. She was a part of the Ben Shapiro network, the Daily Wire, whatever it is. And it's Ben Shapiro's thing, even though he claims he's not. Jeremy Bourne was the head of the thing. Now he has actually stepped down from that, from the position of being the I don't know who's in charge now of Daily Wire, other than knowing that by de facto, Ben Shapiro is in charge of it. I used to like Ben, and I used to like the way he would debate. I would like the fact that he was smart, quick on his feet. He talks fast, which is makes a person sound smarter, of course, when they talk fast. It's on and on and on. However, there's always been something I just haven't always felt akin to with him with regard to the way he talks and his line of reasoning sometimes. One of those things is the more time goes on, the more you realize this guy is really, I would say he's probably more aligned with or has more of an allegiance to Israel than he does to the United States. That's just by observation. I'm not saying I know that. I'm not judging the man's heart. I'm just saying that he seems to have, that's more of an issue with him than, it's more about how, his opinion of America is more about how America views, what America's view is of Israel. And that's fine. Now, he's definitely conservative with regard to, I would say at least neoconservative. He's more of an establishment Republican. He didn't like Trump initially. He made some very bad statements about Trump in 2016 during the election. He has kind of since recanted on some of those, not openly, willingly, or very vocally. But now, of course, again, he's kind of been wavering back and forth on his support for Trump. Which is, I don't care if you disagree with Trump's policies. That's not the issue. I just if you want to have an issue there, when you start throwing the guy in the can just because of one particular policy you disagree with, then you lose the whole point. The whole point is this guy's not a, come back to the basics here. This guy's Trump is not establishment. I wouldn't say he's right or left even. I wouldn't even say he's really Republican. Republicans have accepted him into their party. That's where he's at. Because the Dems have just gone off the deep end. Now, unfortunately, the Dems can't stand the fact that anybody would run as a Republican. Just, if you have an R behind your name, you are the enemy. You are the Nazi. Remember what they did to Ron DeSantis when Ron DeSantis was talking about coming out running in 2020. Was going to run against Trump, and of course, then he was the Hitler. He was the Nazi. He was working. Of course, just the same thing with Mike Pence. They were talking about getting rid of Trump in the first, in his first term, when he was from 2016 to 2020. And what did Pete Buttigieg say? Oh well, Mike Pence is even worse than Trump. We would have an even worse situation with. We got to get rid of both of them. Really? So it just. As bad as Trump is, Mike Pence would even be worse. Now, I think Mike Pence would have been worse. I don't like the direction Mike Pence has gone. Mike Pence did a pretty good job as governor of Indiana. I knew that he was fairly establishment, but as a governor, that doesn't really do too much to the state. It just, you don't have as much authority. You're not doing as much, making some big decisions. As president, now we're talking about a whole other thing when you're in with the deep state. I've met Mike Pence personally. I've shaken his hand. I've talked to him. I've had a little talk about his son and other just different things. But I wouldn't talk to him about politics because we would be on a very different course very quickly. And it just wouldn't be productive. Which, folks, by the way, let me just put this little side note in there. And let me just back up for just a second. First of all, I'd like to know your opinions on this whole thing. If you know anything about the Candace Owens situation, if you know anything about any of that, just anything about the show, anything about politics, anything you want, maybe you've got a subject you want me to talk about, feel free to send me a message via text or by a phone call. You can leave a message at the hotline. It's 812-379-8778, 812-379-8778. Call, text today. If you don't have a phone that has international calling abilities, you can go to google.com/voice and put that number in, 812-379-8778. And you can put that in there and then you can leave a message, you can send a text or leave a voicemail message, whichever one you want. And let me know what you think or ask me questions or whatever. Let me know what you think about what I think about the news. I want to get about this. Now, this whole thing about social media, I want to talk about this because I still see this all the time. I have relatives, mostly on one side of the, on my, I would say on my, for in terms of my family line, there's some on my wife's side too. Mostly on my, I would say from my mom's line. I see them getting on Facebook mostly. I tend to be on there more than anything. I don't get on Twitter a whole lot. They're probably on Twitter doing the same thing. posting stuff, reposting stuff, you know, that's all about political stuff. It's one thing after another. Oh, this administration's doing this, administration's doing that. That's all they post about. They don't post about their family. They don't post about anything about their personal life or anything that's going on very much, very often. It's all this political jargon. It's just a PSA for those of you who do that. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, frankly. I really don't. If you're on the right side or the left side, I don't care. If you're just posting something that's true, this is what's happened, that's fine. You're asking people what they think about it. That's whatever. That's if it affects your life, that's fine. I'm not just talking about having something that's triggering you. It's affecting my life because it's Rosie O'Donnell just had an interview about how she was so distraught and so upset with in 2016 when Donald Trump won the election, and how she was in a dark place. She couldn't eat right. She was drinking. That's really sad that a politician that has no effect on your life, really. Just get some perspective here, Rosie. You were the one destroying your life over this whole thing of being so distraught about Donald Trump being president. It's 4 years. Get over it. Now she's talking about, well, I've got a son. I've got an autistic binary son. She has to go about this whole thing. My non-binary child that's autistic. I've got to be alive for another 12 years or whatever to take care of. Or 12 years old, and she's got to be alive for another 22. Whatever it is. I have to take care of myself. I have to be alive for this, you know, for my non-binary autistic child. Can't call him a son or daughter, of course. That would be terrible. So she moved out of the country. I think she's in Ireland or wherever she's at now. And yet, Donald Trump is still living in her head. And so she's all concerned about this. What is going on with you? You're the one destroying your life. You've done more to destroy your life from all the angst and anguish that you've put yourself under because of someone else that has no effect on your life, really. Get some perspective. Politics is politics, and it's always going to be there. Live your best life. Do what you can. If you run into headlong into something that's affecting you, then if you know it's affecting people that you know, get involved with that on a regular real level where you can actually contact some, make some phone calls. Don't just post stuff on the internets and think that that's going to change. You're not changing any hearts or minds. Okay, all you're doing is dividing things further, causing more because you're behind a keyboard typing away. Not listening to anybody and how they feel about it. You're not getting the whole story. Typically, you're getting a one-sided story, and then you're typing about it, and you're getting yourself all riled up, and you're feeling very good about yourself because you're taking a stand. You're not standing against anything. You're cutting yourself off and ostracizing yourself because you can't have a rational decision or discussion. I've tried and tried. And there are these people who are just that—they're just off the deep end with this stuff. They won't listen. They won't listen to a rational thought. You can't have a rational discussion with them. You can't say, "Well, I hear your side. Let me just give you a different my perspective on it. Let me share a couple different perspectives, and we can kind of talk about. Let's work through this. You know, let's work through some of this. You know, your perspective, my perspective, where I'm coming from with it. I wish I would have saved this post. Maybe I can find it again. This lady posted something, and then she went on with this whole thing about she put in the whole definition of what a democracy is, and the whole thing was very positive towards democracy and how democracy is where everybody votes on all the legislation. A pure or direct, what's called a direct democracy now, because pure democracy apparently has some other tone. Apparently they've changed the definition of pure democracy. Pure democracy used to be just what it was. Now it has some kind of racial tone. Pure democracy. When you say pure democracy, what you're talking about is a democracy that it's all whites. Only whites can vote. That's what's pure. What? When did that happen? When did that become a thing? I've never heard of that before in my life. But apparently it's a thing. Let's see if I can find Messenger here. There was a post. Where is it here? I don't see it now. Unfortunately, it's... Oh, here we go. I think this might be it. Hopefully I can find this. Yeah, here we go. Most relevant comment. So Vice President J.D. Vance, quote, this is supposedly a quote. This person posted this. It's a meme, so who knows whether he actually said it or not. I'm just reading what this guy posted. Just a little disclaimer there. You hear the American media say all the time that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. The threat to democracy is Democrats importing voters instead of persuading their fellow citizens. So what they're doing is they're bringing, you know, what he was suggesting there is that Democrats are bringing in outside people to vote, which they are, that they're allowing illegal immigrants, undocumented immigrants, to vote in cities, city elections and state elections. They still can't vote in federal elections, but they hand you the same ballot. So if you fill it out, put it in the thing, it's still going to count. They're not going to stop. You know, they're not going to check that. It's ridiculous. But this is what this lady, then this lady posts a comment. Excuse me. This lady posts a comment, and she goes through the whole definition of pure democracy, which she of course calls direct democracy. She goes, pure democracy, also known as direct democracy, is a form of government where citizens vote directly on laws and policies rather than through elected representatives. In this system, the people's will is directly reflected in the decisions made by the government. Here's a more detailed explanation. Direct decision-making, unlike representative democracies, where citizens elect officials to make the decisions on their behalf, a pure democracy involves citizens participating directly in the decision-making process, often through voting on specific proposals or legislation. Examples. Ancient Athens is often cited as an example of pure democracy. Now, considered, you know, Athens, Rome. Rome fell from within. She goes on with this whole thing with a little bitty blurb at the end about potential benefits of and challenges. So while pure democracy can foster a strong sense of popular sovereignty and direct engagement, it can also face challenges related to the complexity of decisions and the decision making, the potential for tyranny of the majority. That's one bad thing. The potential for the tyranny of the majority and the logistical difficulties of involving the entire citizenry in every decision. We don't have a representative democracy. And she goes on to say, contrast with representative democracy, pure democracy contrasts with representative democracy. I just lost it. Here's the problem. We don't have a representative democracy. And her whole basis and definition of this whole thing is off and wrong and completely off track. She has no understanding of what our government system is made up of at all. We have a constitutional republic. Representative republic is what we have. Not a constitution. Now, people will say, oh, a republic is just a subset of a democracy. No, it's not. You're reading the Wikipedia definition and is not correct at all. And the founders made very clear that the word democracy never shows up in any of the founding documents. It's not in the Constitution. It's not in the Bill of Rights. It's not in the preamble. It's nowhere. Doesn't show up at all. No democracy. There's a reason for that. Because it's all based on individual liberty. Democracy has nothing to do with the individual. It is all about the people's will and the majority rule. This little blurb that she puts in there about the possibility of tyranny of the majority. Yeah, that's called 51% of the people can vote that 49% of the people legally must be killed. That's ridiculous. That would never happen. You have rights. No, you don't have rights in a pure democracy, a direct democracy. It doesn't happen. Because the majority rule, that is the rule, and that is it. in a pure democracy. You have no individual rights. The Constitution goes away. The Bill of Rights goes away in a pure democracy. Representatives are sent to represent us as individuals. To defend, this is why we have an oath, to uphold and defend the Constitution, because the Constitution upholds the individual's rights. Not to give us more rights, not to give us stuff from the government, not to give us free stuff. It's to uphold our individual liberties. To try on our own and to fail on our own and to receive the benefits of our labor. If you take the risk and you make the money and you do well, you get the reward. If you do something stupid, you're held accountable, there's liability, and you get it taken away. That's just the way it works. If you do nothing in this socialist utopia they're trying to create, you still get a pay, you still get an income. Don't worry. You get paid anyway. Doesn't matter whether you work or not. Doesn't matter. Just, there's your basic livable income. They want to give people that. We're not talking about minimum wage here. We're talking about basic income. Everybody gets a baseline income, regardless of whether you work or not. This is creepy socialism, is what it is. It's creeping in. And this is where they're headed with this stuff. It is a very, very, I would say more than slippery slope right now. It is a greased up slippery slope with slippery snot on it. It is a very, and we're heading, it's some parts of the country are heading down it. The primary candidate now for mayor in New York, who we assume the Democrat Party is going to win that race, just won this, what's his name? Zohran or whatever his name is. AOC is out campaigning for the guy, so that gives you some idea. Oh, she's being real flirty about it. Oh, he's just a wonderful guy. He's doing all this and he's doing all that. He's the guy you want. Zohran. She calls him Zohran. Mahar Dardi or whatever his name is. I don't know. I've heard his name pronounced so many different ways. Probably going to be the next New York mayor. He just won over everybody else that was running. Even Cuomo, who was the former governor of New York. Just won the primary, so that's pretty much he's in. One of the things he wants to do, he's total socialist, absolute total socialist. I would say communist. Wants to have city-owned grocery stores. Now, think about how do you do that so all the profit margin would be 2% over the price of the goods. They would only have a 2% profit margin. They would have these grocery stores all over the place. Now, how do you do that? How do you do a 2% profit margin and you have theft going on at an unprecedented rate in most of these? The reason the grocery stores are pulling out, by the way, and the reason their prices are high is because New York City allows people to walk away with about $1,000 worth of groceries without paying for them, and there's no repercussions for that. And people know that, so they just walk in and grab their groceries and leave. There recently was a video, and this happens all the time now, I guess. This is happening. People will go in, a whole bunch of people will go in to get groceries. They all go to the checkout line at the same time. And then somebody shows up and starts threatening like he's got a gun. Everybody runs out of the store with all their stuff. They don't leave the stuff they haven't paid for. They just run out with the stuff. They're all screaming and yelling and screaming, oh no, look out. And they take these carts full of stuff out they haven't paid for. And they go home. What just happened here? And of course the guy gets away. Nobody never had a gun, never, you know, was all misunderstanding. Oh, sorry. Guy walks free. That's the newest thing that's happening now. Because, you know, grocery prices are so high that to fill up a cart costs more than $1,000 probably. So it gives them something that, you know, gets them off the hook for that. And of course, the grocery store's not going to chase after you. Too many people doing that. That's the next thing that's been happening. But this guy wants to have city-owned grocery stores. Now, if you have a grocery store in town, how do you compete with that? How do you say, we're going to stay in business and we're going to continue to charge prices we have to pay because we have to charge because of, you know, we've got to pay for all these things like insurance and all this other stuff that we have to pay for. But the city-owned grocery stores will be insured under the city blanket policy. They don't have to pay extra. They don't have to pay anything. They'll probably find a building that the city's going to pay for, of course. There's no rent. They don't pay rent. City pays for that. Heating, electrical, sewer. I bet they don't pay for the sewer. My water sewer bill has almost doubled in the last 4 years. What happened there? I got the same. I still use less than the minimum amount of water. I don't use the toilet more than once a week there. Probably flush it 5 times a month. How's that work? And it's gone up. I don't get any different service. Nothing's changed. I don't have gold-plated plumbing all of a sudden. Why are they getting twice as much money? Pipes are all still there, still doing the same thing. I don't get it. Property tax is still, well, it has gone up too. But I don't understand what's going on with that. So this is the kind of stuff they pull all the time, as if we're not noticing it. Folks, almost doubling the amount of money that they're taking in is if your budget was $2 million a year, whatever it was, I'm sure it was more than that, all of a sudden it's $4 million. What just happened there? A year. I'm not talking about just to cover something that they spent for a year. Operational costs just went up that much? Is that what has going on? Anyway, don't get me started with that. I guess I'm already started. But you didn't get me started. I got myself started. I'm a self-starter. We have the craziness of all this. And it's just one thing after another. And of course, I'm sure there won't be any corruption in any of these grocery stores. The people running them, I'm sure, aren't going to just walk out with food. It's just the government. Just take it. I'll take this stuff home for my family. Then, I'll sell this. I'll take this stuff and sell it on the side. They were going to throw this out, but I'm going to take it. I'll sell it on the side. I'll put it on eBay. Whatever. I'm sure none of that's going to happen. Which is another thing that the regular stores have to face also is with poor management or employees that are lifting. It'll be on an unprecedented level in a government-owned grocery store. And of course, they'll all have government benefits. They'll have city benefits. The whole thing. Talk about going down the slope. It is rapidly moving that direction right now. Everything that they're doing in New York City. Now, having said all, and of course, they can't afford. They're all going broke. The California's going broke. LA is going broke. The programs that they have going on. I just heard from a guy this morning. One of the things he said was, he fought like crazy during COVID because they weren't charging people rent. They were letting people get away with not paying for rent because supposedly they couldn't. If you couldn't afford your rent, you didn't pay it, and they can't evict you for that. So he was going through this whole process. Well, he decided he wasn't going to go through that because he didn't want to have to pay his landlord at the end. So he fought like crazy to do everything he could, side jobs, everything he could to make enough money to pay his rent for like 10 months. And it was, ended up being like $10,000 he paid out in rent, however long it was. But he paid out. Well, then come to find out, at the end of this whole thing, the city stepped in and said, we're going to forgive all these. We're going to basically negotiate with the landlords to pay off your rents. All these people who couldn't pay rent all that time, we're going to come in and step in. We're going to pay your back rent. Well, he paid for his. So now he's out that $10,000. He'd have been better off not paying. Everybody would have been better off not paying. What about all the people who paid and now they're out? And not only that, but the taxes that they have to pay now to pay for everybody else's rent.
Well, you're just selfish. You're just so selfish because you can't. Some people couldn't afford to pay the rent because.
You know what? That's. It's still not fair. It's still not fair and just. It's not fair. It's not just. To do what they did. Put them on a program to help them pay back their back rent or something like that. That's fine. You want to do some kind of a government loan to help them pay back that stuff, whatever, that's fine. But you lived the life you were living beyond your means, and then you want somebody else to pay for it. And because they do it one time, now everybody expects it all the time. That's the decline of our society. Ami Horowitz was recently, heard him the other day, and he was talking about this, he was on the subway, and this lady, the subway stopped, and there was like a 15-minute delay, so they're sitting there on the train for 15 minutes. And while they're sitting there, this lady goes, this is why I skip the line. I don't pay. The service is terrible. I don't like this. So I'm not gonna pay for it because the service is so bad. He's like, well, the reason the service is so bad is because you don't pay for it. I mean, it's kind of two people talking past each other, but they both have a point. However, the one lady, you're not obligated to have to ride the subway. It's a service that's provided to you by the city, and you have to pay for it. If you don't pay for it, well, yeah, it's not going to be as good as it would be if you. Of course, there's question. Mechanical stuff's going to break down. That's just the way it's going to be. Stuff's going to happen. You could buy a car. You're not going to pay for a car if it breaks down on you because I guarantee you, I got a few I'll sell you or give to you. And it cost me as much to fix some of them as it would go out and buy another used one. However, then you end up with another used car that's got, whatever. Usually it's cheaper. In the long run, it's cheaper just to fix up the car you have and keep it going. Typically, if it's a good quality car. That's the difference between, you don't go out and buy a Chevy, some kind of a little pop bucket that just doesn't, and then you put, $10,000 into a $4,000 car. That's not a good idea. But putting $10,000 in a $50,000 car is a whole other story. And I'm not saying the car, it doesn't mean the car's worth that much. But when it was brand new, it's a luxury car. It's still in good shape. It's holding up. Everything's well. It's not rusting out. It's got a good solid car. It's worth putting some money in and driving another 200,000 miles. I mean, or you can go out and spend, a little bit more and buy another car. It's going to have other, that you don't know what you got, and it's going to have other issues. So it's just, you have to kind of weigh those things out. And this gets back to the whole idea of gas prices are not just the only thing that are costing you money. You have to figure out your cost per mile in operating a car. And all those things are, what are the long-term, over the 100,000 miles you're going to be operating that car. When you think about insurance, gas, their per mile operational cost on a car, wear and tear, all those other things. What is it costing you to run that car 5 miles to save 20 cents on a gallon of gas? You have to start thinking about those things, and it's just, it doesn't always add up. You might think, well, I had to buy 10 gallons of gas. I saved 20 cents. I saved $2. That's a half a tank of gas. Or that's a half a gallon of gas I saved. and you just burned a gallon of gas to do it. And you also, because it was city driving, and it probably cost you, whatever it was, 50 cents a mile or whatever it was to drive that car. You're not saving anything. And plus your time. It just, the time has even more to do with it. It's just, you have to weigh those things. And sometimes it is worth it. It's just worth it. Your time's probably not worth it, but it is, you save a little bit of money, and you got to save the pennies somewhere because the pennies add up to dollars. I get all that. So you really do. But there are times when you just have to, my rest is more important right now than driving an extra 4 miles to get, 10 cents off a gallon. Now, if you're getting 30 or 40 cents a gallon off, going to Costco, if we're going to go there anyway, and you're going to save 25, 30 cents a gallon, it's time to go. It's time to get that tank down to where it's got nothing in it and fill that puppy up because that's going to be the way, that's a good way to do it. And my wife and I do that quite often. We'll drive over to Costco because we're going to get something from Costco. Plus, we're going to fill up the tank, and we're going to go out to dinner. And so we go out to dinner. We have to do the whole thing and come back. And it's about a 15-minute drive from, 20-minute drive from our house, whatever. So it's not a bad deal. It's been an hour. My chai is now completely almost cold, which is, I know iced chai is good too. But here we are. So we have, it's time to end the show. It's just time to end. I only had two things on my agenda this morning. And I only got to one of them. Candace Owens was one thing. I didn't talk that much about Candace. I was going to talk more about Candace and what's going on with her. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. It is going to be Friday tomorrow, so we'll probably just do a little bit more with that. Talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about all the things that have happened this week. One of the things I want to talk about is the riff. The main topic tomorrow is going to be the riff, at least unless something else big happens. The riff that's going on between the MAGA. Supposedly there's this big divide in MAGA. Now, because Steve Bannon and some other people have come out and said some things, and Candace Owens and Steve Bannon. There's just weird stuff going on within the MAGA movement, and not necessarily people I just totally agree with anyway, but we'll see how this goes. And a lot of it has to do with Israel. In the meantime, folks, continue to pray for the nation, pray for our president, pray for our leaders. God bless. Have a great rest of your day. See ya.